Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
I want to talk today, I want to jump right in, about living Zoe. You may say, what's Zoe? It's our vision this year, and it's called the God kind of life. It's it's the understanding that there is a way of life that God has for his people. And if you are his people today, then there is a way that he has for us, his people, to live. And so I want to talk about living Zoe, and it's living Zoe life, the God kind of life, and I want to talk about how to live that with the Holy Spirit. It's very important, living life with Holy Spirit. Now, as today I talk about this, I want you to picture with me, and this is a picture in your mind, of what was in the disciples' mind after Jesus went away. I don't know if we have any Facebook users here, but you ever have those little pop-ups that come up and say a year ago or 5 years ago or 7 years ago? And there's always a picture with it. Aren't you glad we live in a day and age where we have pictures? They're just not pictures in our mind. They're pictures that we can view. I have been on vacations with my family, and as I look back on those vacations, there are things I remember, but it brings even more remembrance when you see a picture. And I like those when y'all post them and they pop up. I see a lot of them pop up about baptisms, different things going on, the day someone gave their heart and life to Jesus. I like that they take a picture and they put a moment in time that one day you can look back on when that picture pops up and go, hey, remember that? That was fun. That was cool. Well, if you can imagine when the disciples were here, they had seen everything Jesus did firsthand. Then they saw him die. And then he comes back, and he's with them for a season, and then he ascends, and they don't have a Facebook memory. They don't have a picture they can pull from. All they have is what they had in their mind. Their mind's picture and their memory, and they had a mental, if you will, picture, a mental picture of what Jesus had said, what he had done. Hey, remember when they did this? Remember that? You can just imagine the disciples talking about it. Remember how cool that was? And in their mind's eye, one of the biggest, I believe, memories in their mind would have been him saying the last week of his life, hey, I'm going. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Hey, he told us he was going, but I didn't realize it'd be like this. But you remember he said that. I'm going. I'm going to go. John 14, 15, and 16, 10 different times, I am going. But every time he'd say it, then he'd say, and I'm sending. I'm going, but I'm also sending. I'm going to send someone to you. John 16, verse 5. Now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. This is Jesus talking to disciples. Do you even care? Not one of you is even asking where I'm going. But I'm going somewhere. I mean, I've wondered why, and I'll be able to ask this one day, why didn't any of you all ask him? Where are you going? Verse 6. Instead, here's what you're doing. You're grieving because of what I've told you. But in fact, he says, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, the helper won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Someone's coming. And I'm so glad today that Jesus did not just leave us with a mental picture. He actually sent someone. And we can think, well, if I lived when Jesus did, what Jesus said is, listen, I'm going, but I'm sending someone. So you don't have to live with a mental picture. You don't have a Facebook reminder that has to pop up. Come on, that's good. I'm glad about that. I hope you are. Not just memories, but you're going to have a person that is going to be here, a person. I love it. I would rather have a person than I would a Facebook memory. I'd rather have a person than a picture. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we know and understand and access who he has sent. But most of God's people really just look and think, well, if I was a disciple, I would have all of those mental pictures. And what I'm telling you is they got way past the mental picture because they had someone. We have that same someone. When you read the New Testament, you never read, don't worry, I'm sending it to you. No, I'm sending someone to you. I'm going to send him to you. Someone, I'm going to send him to you. He sent him, the Holy Spirit. The reality is not a presence to be feared, but a presence to be known. So we're not freaked out about this. If you don't see him as a person, you won't approach him as a person, and it'll be weird for you. And I just want to make sure that as I communicate today, this has been my prayer all week and the weeks before, as I was talking about money and I was talking about just handling plain old money, that God wants the true riches of his life for you. And he wants you just to handle plain old money. That's why I talked about that last week. Just how you handle plain old money, kingdom-minded, so that you can experience the true riches that God has for us. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit should not be weird. But here's the thing. If you don't approach him as a person, it's going to be weird. That's why I want to talk today about this. I don't know. I think people look at the Holy Spirit kind of like they do a weird family member. And everybody's got one. And you're like, I know I'm supposed to love him. I know I'm supposed to hang out with him. But they're weird. Come on. Some of you are like, No. You can't do that, Pastor. You can't. I don't even have a weird family member. Be careful about saying that. I'm going to move on. Sometimes, though, that's how we feel about the Holy Spirit. See, we've seen weird people, or let me say it like this. We've seen weird presentations. I don't know if you've ever been to a really nice restaurant ever where you pay for every individual thing that you want to eat separate and they bring it out. I mean, I don't go to many of these places, but I've been. And a few of the times I've been, they bring it out. Well, one of the things that they pride themselves in is the presentation. And they bring it out in their presentation. You look at this food and you're like, wow, that doesn't look like I would like it. It's got leafy stuff on it. That's not what comes on my steak, leafy stuff. I mean, just steak. And they bring this presentation out and you're looking at it and this is really weird. And so you say, you know what, I think I'll pass. I'm not really interested. But if you had tried it, it would have been the best food you'd ever put in your mouth. And see, because you didn't like the way it was presented, you passed on it. That's what happens in the kingdom of God, especially with the Holy Spirit. See, weird presentations of people have made you think the Holy Spirit's weird, and you've passed on something that would be the greatest thing you've ever tasted in your whole life. It is such a great strategy of the enemy to make you think that the Holy Spirit is weird because people are weird. And the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. And I have found that is just that's just the case. It's just so great a strategy of the enemy to get people to think the wrong thing here. And here's the thing. Some of this has come from misrepresentation of Scripture, maybe a misunderstanding of words translated. Some people attack others for saying Holy Spirit. Some people attack others for saying the Holy Spirit, like you can't use an article beforehand. And so Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you this morning, you're going to hear me do all of that. The Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit. Why? Because I'm a hillbilly. And probably the weakest part of what I have is the way I use words. I even make up words. And I think they're real, but I get convinced to look them up and they're not. But they were in my mind. And so I just want to tell you that it's okay to say Holy Spirit. It's okay to say the Holy Spirit. I'm just not going to get caught up on that because I'm making everybody freak out about the Holy Spirit because we're getting caught up on whether you can use an article or not. How'd you know? I knew what that was. I looked it up. The is an article. You say God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's fine. You can say God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And it means the same thing. And so both of these ways would be natural. The King James Version, you don't see Holy Spirit, you see it translated as Holy Ghost. That's weird. And I'm not putting the translators of the King James down. The Holy Ghost. Anybody need a ghost today? I mean, you don't say that. I mean, no one says, I just need more ghosts in my life. No one says that. So when you, people are weirded out by ghosts and you're saying you need the Holy Ghost. And they don't understand and they're kind of, you're just not going to meet a lot of people who's going around looking for a ghost today. That doesn't happen. The message today, I thought about titling, I ain't afraid of no ghost. And I thought, no, that won't produce what I'm trying to accomplish today. But that's a good title, isn't it? See, ghost was translated in a way that didn't make sense for us. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit, Ruach. You got to say it like that in Hebrew. New Testament, Nuam. And both of them have the same meaning. And so let me give you the meaning of Holy Spirit as translated in Old Testament, New Testament. It means a wind or a blast of breath of God. A blast of the breath of God. It's the wind or the blast of breath of God. I just have a picture of him being the breath of God. He is God and his breath is breathed, if you will, into your life. He is one of the three parts of the Godhead. It's the Trinity. It's very important to understand that he has a function. And most of us only have problems with people's view and understanding and presentation of the Holy Spirit, and it's messed up their view, so we freak out and we stay away from. We only talk about it in our home. We don't talk about it. I don't experience it in my own life. I don't have an understanding of that breath. I don't understand that it's a person. And see, most people, they're okay with God, and they're really okay with Jesus, but they're kind of freaked out by Holy Spirit. That's just a little too much for me. And even though hundreds of times he's mentioned in Scripture, hundreds of times. Since the Holy Spirit today is the wind of God, I want to use the attributes of wind, some not all, to help us see and understand who he is, because that is the translation in the Old Testament, New Testament of Holy Spirit, wind, breath of God. So number one, we're going to have four of them today, so if y'all are counting when I'm getting close to the end, when I hit four, you know I'm close. Number one, just as the wind is unseen, Holy Spirit is unseen. You cannot see the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. You can feel the wind. Likewise, you can feel the effects of the Holy Spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about this. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, let's get in some scripture because I want to back up everything I say with the word. Jesus himself said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. In some translations, it says he'll give you a helper who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's saying here that the world can acknowledge him and their world is going to think it's weird. So if you're a Christian and you're thinking the Holy Spirit is weird, you're thinking like the world. The world doesn't know him and doesn't recognize him. That's not surprising because Jesus said that's the way it was. The Holy Spirit had not come at this point, and Jesus was setting it up for when he did come. Someone is not a follower of Jesus and thinking that the Spirit of God is weirded out unless they have seen something weird by people. It's not by the Spirit. See, the world has no ability to recognize, they don't know to look for him. But those of us who know Jesus, we should be able to recognize him. And we should be able to look for him. Now, you may be here today, and when you walked in, or maybe during worship, I'm telling you, I was right in the middle of worship, and I just got this feeling. I mean, and it was a great feeling. It was like, oh. It was right when they sang, name above all names. I was like, he is. There's not another. And I mean, all of a sudden, I just felt. And you may have been in worship today, and maybe you had a feeling. Something feels different today. Well, let me tell you, it's not something, it's someone. Yeah. And it's someone you're feeling. But I want you to be careful not to look for him in feeling only. See, so many have reduced their relationship with him to only a feeling, and they need goosebumps to acknowledge him. Yeah. And I just think that what we've done is when we make the Holy Spirit nothing but goosebumps, then when you get cold, you can recognize the Holy Spirit's here. I get goosebumps for a lot of reasons. I mean, in my older than yesterday age, I get goosebumps every once in a while. It seems like it's cold all the time. Goosebumps come. I'm just telling you, when one of my granddaughters comes up and looks at me and goes, Paw, I love you. Whew, goosebumps every. And she ain't the Holy Spirit. See, but we get this idea that we have to have a feeling, and so then what happens is you get a weirdness associated with the Holy Spirit because everybody works until they get a goosebump, or otherwise there's no Holy Spirit. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is not just a sensation alone. He's a supernatural person. He's a person. That's why at times when people can't feel him, they try to force some emotion. We just got to force this emotion. We just got to keep going until we get this emotional experience, because the Spirit doesn't come until the emotion comes, and that is wrong thinking.
That's right.
That is wrong thinking, and therefore, you're going to live all of life. If you don't have an emotion, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and that's not the way God presented himself.
So
see, we're not led by emotions. And we don't mix up a feeling to experience it. And if we're not led by emotion and the Holy Spirit is only an emotion, then we can't be led by any of the Holy Spirit's leading abilities. Now, he does help us to feel God's feelings. Holy Spirit has some things that you may not have thought about. He has a mind, he has a will and an emotion. Holy Spirit helps us to think as God thinks, desire what God desires, to feel what God feels, because God has a mind, will, and emotion. And I have a mind, will, and emotion. And Holy Spirit helps us to be more like him. I can't know God's thoughts, I can't know his will for my life until I know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts feeding me what God is saying to me about what he thinks, what he feels, how he operates. Am I making sense today?
Good.
Romans 8:27 says, the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Spirit knows, and we need to be in harmony with God because the Spirit is interceding for us to God. And that's power. Come on, that's powerful that the Holy Spirit is taking who we are and he's taking who God is, and he's making these two things work. Two people work together. 1 Corinthians 2:11. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Boy, this verse just makes things so clear. No one can know a person's thoughts except for the person's own spirit. Well, if God is dwelling in your spirit and his spirit is communion with yours, then God can know your thoughts, right? Not only that, if his spirit knows his thoughts, God's thoughts, if God's spirit knows God's thoughts, and it's in your spirit, then your thinker can know through your spirit God's thoughts.
So good.
I love this verse. It's just like, okay, that makes perfect sense. See, the Spirit is helping us to know God's thoughts. People ask, well, I'm not sure how to know what God wants me to do. How am I to know God's will for my life? If you've ever asked that, I have. You need to hear what I'm saying today, because the Spirit of God is what helps you know that. That's what helps you. So you can't leave him like he's the forgotten God. I never access that part of who God is. I can't even know the desires of God without the Holy Spirit doing what he does in my life. Ephesians 4:30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Another translation says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve means to experience a deep emotional pain or sadness. Therefore, Holy Spirit has that. He has an emotional thing that tugs on him, and it's, that was painful for me. That was sad for me. Why? Because that's what grievance does. Well, what causes us to grieve Holy Spirit? Sin. When we use corrupt speech, when we're bitter, when we're critical, when we're not in fellowship with others in the body of Christ, when we're causing division in the body, what I'm telling you is we're acting outside of the character and nature of God, because God never comes in and says, let me just see what I can't do to make you bitter. Let me see what I can't do just to get you on some critical spirits. No, I need you to be in the Holy Spirit so I can get you past that and get you to a place where you can operate and function according to the way I have for you. That's what God says. When we're acting outside of his character, we're not acting on the Holy Spirit's guidance. There's times in my life when I've talked, I've said, I've done, I've been in a conversation, and something came out wrong, and I didn't fix it right then. In fact, I kind of said it because I thought they needed to hear it. I don't know if you've ever been there before. If you're married, you've been there before. You've said something, and you're like, I probably shouldn't have said that, but boy, they needed to hear it. And so everybody's been there at some point, and then you walk away from that, and you're a child of God. I'm not doubting that you gave your heart and life to Jesus. And so you walk away, and you get this little gnawing. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's right here. Maybe it's right here. And you get this gnawing, it's going, you shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. In fact, maybe that's not what you start thinking. Maybe you start saying, God, should I have said that? And he goes, well, I wouldn't have said it. You ever heard God tell you that? God says, I wouldn't have said it like that. Therefore, you shouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm always questioning, God, is that the way you would have said it? Or if you're really smart, you say, God, help me to say this before I open my mouth. But if you're on the back end, you're like, okay, well, that sorrow, that frustration, here's what was doing. You're in communion with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is grieving. You're never around somebody that's grieving that you don't know something's wrong.
Yes.
Come on, this is good.
Wow.
I can tell you, I can walk in the house. My wife's already laughing. I can walk in my house and I can go, hey. And she's like, huh. And I'm like, uh-oh. Something's wrong. And so what's my first question? Come on, men. What's your first question? What'd I do wrong? That's right. Not are you okay? You just kind of assume, and it was right here. And you don't know, so you're going to ask. And my favorite response is, honey, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm like, okay, so help me. What's wrong? What's wrong? Because I don't know. But I'm never oblivious to knowing that something's wrong. And sometimes, well, I won't even go into the other story. If it was me, there's a different path. There's not a, you know. I try not, okay, I'm not going there. I got to move on. Holy Spirit's saying, I wouldn't have said that. So go on. And so here's, but I'm never unaware when something was wrong. See, when someone's grieving, I know that when you're grieving the Holy Spirit, come on, when you're in communion with them, you ought to know that. I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. And I've had people come and say, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, no, you are, because you're the one. I'm in touch with the Holy Spirit and I haven't felt any grievance at all. You ever had someone come up and tell you you're grieving the Holy Spirit and you're not? The only way you know you're not is when you're in communion with him. When you're talking with him, when you're enjoying his presence, and someone says that, you can know if they're right. Well, your wife's just really upset. Well, I've been around her a lot today. No, she's not upset at all. I'm telling you, she's the joy. She's the happiest person you've ever. You're wrong. How do I know that? Because I'm in communion. See, I just want you to know that that's an important aspect of understanding the Spirit of God. I'm loving to tell you today, if you're not grieved when you sin, then you've become dull to the Holy Spirit. Or you're unaware of the relationship that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be producing for you. You're not enjoying His presence in your life. And if you can sin and nothing grieves you about it, you're not hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. Somebody's going to wake up with just that statement today. So many people are emotional about lost people. And why are you so emotional about lost people? Because God's emotional about lost people. That's why. Holy Spirit can make you sensitive to what God is thinking and what He's sensitive about. All right, let me move to number two. Here we go. Wind is unpredictable and the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Now, I've got to explain this because if I just left it with that statement, you'll leave confused. That I know that the unpredictability of the Holy Spirit that people get caught up on and they love, they start living that way in their own life and they don't understand the full explanation of that statement. See, I can watch clouds. In fact, if you do much fishing, you watch clouds. And here's why. Because you watch their color and you watch which way they're moving. And if they're getting darker and they're moving your direction, you're like, huh. But because I watch clouds a lot, especially when I'm on the lake, I'll notice that some clouds are moving this way. Have you ever seen this? And some clouds are moving this way, and you're like, I don't know how to predict that. And Ron Hurst sure don't. And I'm trying to figure out, am I going to get rained on? Do I need to head to the boat dock? Do I need to go ahead and head out because it's going to be an all night? I don't know. The wind is what moves the clouds, and some go in this. And the direction or the blow, if you will, can change. And it may seem at times Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Let me read John 3:8. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now, we start seeing people as unpredictable, and you need to understand something. When you see people unpredictable, here's what you can know. You can't count on them. Would you agree? When you see them as unpredictable. All right, that should not be what you ascribe to the Holy Spirit. Because He is only unpredictable on how He may do something, but He's very predictable on what He came to do. Okay, that one I hope just cleared it up. Let me talk about it a little more until I get more nods. He may go about things that doesn't always seem to make sense to man. And here's why. He doesn't want you to rely on a system.
That's so true. That's really good.
He wants you to rely on Him. And I'm a systems guy, especially because I've hung out with Jill Bettinger a little bit. See, you cannot put Holy Spirit in a box and be able to figure it all out. See, A and B doesn't always equal C. Sometimes it's C and F equal C. I don't understand. See, people fall in love with the way God used to do things, and so we fell in love with a system. We fell in love with a piano and an organ. Therefore, you can't have an electric guitar. See, there are systems that the kingdom of God have fell in love with and they've lost the love for the Spirit of God. And we've got to be careful about that because we can fall in love with a system. And I can tell you the reason we don't have an organ on stage is because we finally found the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just kidding. We got rid of the organs and the tambourines for the most part. Systems have become what people love more than God. And I'm just telling you, I've seen it. But Isaiah 43:19, I'm about to do something new. I'm going to do something new. God says, I'm going to do something new. We serve a God that's innovative, but still the same. See, He's the same, and He's predictable, but He's innovative. He uses a new system. He doesn't heal everybody the same way in Scripture. You just read that. They're spitting dirt in one story. There's this on the other, there's just a touching of the garment in another. There's all these different ways that people received a healing, but it was still God who heals. So we've got to understand the Holy Spirit is called a helper, and He is unpredictable in nature, always able to change a method to get a God result. I love this. That's why we've got to test the spirits. When you're in the middle trying to find the end, well, I don't know if I agree with that or not. Test the spirits, because sometimes it's just people being weird. And we'll talk more about that next week. But when I saw the outcome and it was all God, I'm not going to get caught up on the method. I'm going to get caught up on who accomplished what needed accomplished. And that was Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. This is Jesus talking. The Holy Spirit's operating based on what Jesus said he's to operate in. All that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus says. That's why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So it's just an opportunity to get into our lives. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you get where you need to go. How many need a truth in certain situations? I need God's truth to manifest itself here. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to deliver the truth of God. And we need that more now than ever. All of us hearing the same message today, being led by the Spirit, can hear the same word and arrive at the same truth. Same truth. Some of you are like, when I started talking about the Spirit today, you got some cold chills or goosebumps. And you're like, oh no, it's going to get weird today. Have I done anything weird today? Okay, yeah. I talked about my wife in a way that you wouldn't have. I got that. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you. And so I've heard people come and say after I preach, I've heard this a lot, hey, did someone from my house come and talk to you? Were you hanging out in my bedroom this morning? No, I wasn't. And nor would I ever. So, well, how did you know? I didn't. And I've even heard someone come up and say this to me. Hey, I did, Pastor, I loved it when you said, and they'll give me the line, and I'm like, I didn't say that. That was really good. I wish I had. But I didn't say that. But the reason you heard it is because you were listening to what Holy Spirit did. As the word was going forward, the Spirit of God is helping teach you. Galatians 5:25, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. See, Holy Spirit is God's positioning spirit, GPS. You might, every time you say GPS, ask yourself the question, am I going to get where I want to go? GPS, God's positioning spirit. It is if you access the Holy Spirit as your guide. He puts you exactly where you are to be at the exact time you're supposed to be. He's not unpredictable as to where he's going, but your path getting there may not look like the world's. See, your path getting to where you need to be in your marriage doesn't look like the world's. Your path getting to where your kids will be able to function in life doesn't look like the world's. They're going to call you weird. I understand that. They called everyone that was a follower of Jesus weird. That's the way it is. But we get to a place. See, they're going to call the way you handle your finances weird, except for, look where I'm at. I followed a different path, but I'm just telling you, I've got peace in my finances. I've got peace in my marriage. I've got peace in so many areas. See, John 3, everyone's born of the Spirit. They can seem unpredictable to those who are not born of the Spirit. It was just real clear. Number three, just as wind is powerful, church, the Holy Spirit is powerful. We're making a comparison this morning. Wind can move big turbines. We've all seen it through the tornadoes. I mean, the dinosaur tree is gone. Get over it. I wish people were that upset about people who are leaving church. I wish people were that upset about people who are living in blatant sin and calling it okay. So the wind does incredibly powerful things, way more than you and I could have done on the natural. Too many of us are just making it in life, but we're not living above our circumstances. We make the comment, well, under the circumstances, I'm pretty good. Let me introduce you to Holy Spirit, because you don't have to live under circumstances anymore. You can live over the circumstances. I don't say that. Well, under the circumstances, I don't say that. That's not coming out of my mouth. Why? Because I don't live under circumstances. I have a power that's been available to me for a long time. And so I live over the circumstances. We're missing supernatural power from heaven. Human power is not enough to live a supernatural life. You can just write that down. Even the disciples needed Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 49. Jesus said, now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. They had all been with Jesus. They'd all been hanging out with Jesus. But Jesus said, wait until he comes and fills you with his power. You've got to have, disciples, you've got to have that power to function as a disciple in a world that physically is going to whoop you. You got to have a supernatural power to function physically in this world. I need something over the physical. We are no different than the disciples were. We've got to have the same power to live life. Romans 8, 11. To live zoe, on purpose, for purpose, you've got to have Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, in Romans 8, 11, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Come on, somebody say, he lives in me. We've got to get to a place where we know that. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he's going to give life to your mortal, physical, natural bodies by the same Spirit living in you. That raised Christ from the dead. That's a big deal. I want that to be a part of my life. That's what he does. That Spirit, him, that person, he makes dead things come alive. Come on, I love that song. He makes lifeless things come alive. It makes the God kind of life, the Zoe life, possible. Have you ever been to a car dealership and you see that thing that they put a wind turbine under and they blow it up? But if it's not on, here's what you see. But as soon as that wind comes, and you can't drive by and not look. You can't. I'm talking about when wind comes in, you can see the effects of it. You can see the power of something lifeless come alive. We need God's people living like that. When you walk in a room, are people seeing the wind? Are they seeing the breath of God in where you're at? John 6, 63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The very words I speak brings life. Acts 2, the church was birthed because the Spirit brought life into a body of believers. Come on, there's a life that comes about, a power of strength, of an exciting existence. I'm talking about way more than just a car dealer. I'm talking about the life of God in a person. Oh, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope you're learning something today. Number four, and if you've been waiting, we're here. Just as wind is refreshing, Holy Spirit is refreshing. Outside on a hot day, a cool breeze comes. That's refreshing. The Holy Spirit is refreshing. Everybody just take a deep breath. Somehow, when you do that, it's just kind of refreshing. Some of y'all bring fans into church. Shauna's got one right there. Refreshing. I look back and I'm like, the wind, her hairs. I think, well, there's somebody refreshed in here. Might want to go sit by Shauna. John 7, verse 37, Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And then in verse 39, it explains, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. I'm telling you, being around Jesus produced an excitement for some people that were around him. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it ought to be like rivers of flowing, clean, crystal clear water that's refreshing. It's exciting. It's an exciting time when Holy Spirit comes into life. You're daily refreshed. But not only you, everybody's around you gets refreshed. I'm telling you, when Holy Spirit is operating in a believer's life, everybody else that's around you sees that you're refreshed. And it's refreshing to be around somebody who's refreshed. John 14, 16. I'm going to ask and pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper to help you, and he'll be with you forever. This doesn't end after church is over on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night or after a prayer study. He is always available and there for you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, I want to end with this. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Well, I don't know if I believe the Trinity. Right here is a great verse for you to say, okay, well, what do you do with this? The amazing grace of the Master is Jesus, the extravagant love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. His extravagant love was poured out on us because he sent Jesus, the Master. And Jesus went and sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, and he calls us an intimate friend. Come on, we need somebody who really knows all about us. And it's not in a person you might meet in church, it's in a person of God. Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. And he's not weird. He is actually pretty cool. And he makes life worth living, refreshing. He makes life more powerful. See, many are okay and they're good with God. They're okay with Jesus, but they're missing totally the friendship of Holy Spirit. The secret, one of the biggest secrets to the abundant life, the Zoe life that God has for you, is knowing Holy Spirit.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.